have a daughter who's about to turn 18. She pays for her own car. She makes her pay for the gas, buy a portion of the food, buy her own clothes. And I was wondering, what are you supposed to make your 18-year-old pay for?
Dana, my first thought was as much as you can get out of them. Now, seriously, welcome to Intentional Living. That's a great question. We'll get to Dana's call and her question. We've got other parents standing by today. We're going to have an old-fashioned parent talk back to our roots of a ministry here at Intentional Living. With young adults and early adult children and parenting, I'd love to throw that out. What would you tell Dana? I mean, in terms of how do you help you transition a young adult into the realities and responsibilities of adulthood? I'll give you my answer in a couple of minutes as well. Phone line is open. If you have a general question about parenting, maybe young adults, you're looking at how to be intentional with a young adult and you have some issues. Maybe you listen to Dana and you think, wow, paying for the gas, doing a few things. I got a kid that's just on the dole and I can't get him out. He's 24 years old. You know, I don't know what it is you're facing, but you want to be intentional and you do it God's way. Give me a call. Let's talk. Phone lines open. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. And I just want, just before we get to the rest of Dana's call, last week we had such a special emphasis on many of our Family Life radio stations for a share-a-thon for Intentional Living. I just want to say a great big thank you to those of you who called, and literally hundreds who called and said, count me in, I'm a part of the ministry. And the brand new book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotions, Overcoming Anxiety, Anger, and Fear, that we mentioned. Maybe some of you didn't hear that. I'll mention more about that later. We're getting that. It's in the printing stage here. We'll get it out autographed and to you ASAP. I promise the moment we get it back here, as I said, we'll get it to you. This is a brand new release, and I'm excited about this book and the help it's going to give many people on experiencing freedom from hijacked emotions. We'll get to that, too, a little bit later. All right, back to Dana. She's one of our listeners, and a mom wanted to do a good job to be intentional. Let's hear the rest of her call.
Hi, this is Dana. I have a daughter who's about to turn 18, you know, just a month away, and I was wondering, what are you supposed to make your 18-year-old pay for? She paid for her own car already. But do you make her pay for the insurance? Do you make her pay for the gas? Do you make her buy a portion of the food? Do you make her buy her own clothes? I've asked a few moms, and they all have their own take on it, and I was just wondering what your take is.
Well, that's a great question, Dana. I'll tell you what my take is. It depends on your kid. It really does. I mean, if you got an 18-year-old responsible kid, young adult, right, and he or she, in your case, your daughter, progressing, working, you know, getting a job or going to school and really has some goals in their life and moving forward. I think as a family, you sit down and say, honey, how can I help you get there? You know, you want your kids to get off on the right foot, learn how to handle money. You can help them do that. But, you know, she's 17, almost 18 years old. This is just the beginning of how to learn to handle money. And so it depends on your kid. On the other hand, if you've got an irresponsible kid, 18 years old, gets up, plays video games, sits on the couch, works, maybe not, interested in being responsible, not helping out around the house. There's where you get into more of the hard side or the strong side of parenting, where there's going to be some accountability. The goal that we teach at Intentional Living is ultimately to raise a responsible, godly adult who is learning to think biblically. That's a prayer. It doesn't always happen, but that's your prayer, right, as a parent. You want them to think biblically. You want them to think wisely. You want them to think intentionally and then behave that way. So I would agree with your friends. You're going to find that they're all different, Dana, but it sounds like you got a heart. You want to do this right, and I think that's the key, the fact that you want to do it right. What do you all think? I mean, when it comes to, you know, transitioning a young adult out of your home and onto their own life, what has worked? What would you maybe warn other parents to say, don't do what I did, you know, this didn't work, or something that really was helpful for you? We had three. Children are all on their own, responsible, godly, great young people, with eight precious grandchildren now. So we're thankful for that. But they're all different. And each one grew at different stages. And that's the other thing. You'll find some kids that bloom really early. You know, by the time they're 16, 17, they got goals, they got direction, they know what they want. And you're kind of hanging them, you're kind of pulling them back a little bit. You don't want them to get out there too far. And then you got others that are 20 and 22, and you're thinking, okay, when is this blossoming going to occur, you know? And so knowing your children enough, their unique bent, to get behind their eyes, I think is a key. All right, you've got a question on young adult parenting today? Give me a call, 888-888-1717. Yesterday, this is 2 days we're talking about parenting. Yesterday, Jessica from Arizona called, left this comment with a question on our comment line.
Hi, my name is Jessica from Glendale, Arizona, and I am calling in regards to my almost 18-year-old daughter. I am a foster adopted mom. I have 3 children from 8, 5, and 3, and now they are 17, 14, and 12. And they are amazing children, but my 17-year-old, who's almost going to be 18 next month, is very much struggling with boundaries and has boyfriend issues and all of those kind of things. I've set up boundaries with her, and I have given her a contract. For example, she stayed out late one night, and she was driving my car, so I took away her car privileges for a period of time. But she is threatening to move out and doesn't like my rules and doesn't like my things. How do you parent a child that had a really rough start, and I've adopted her and everything, but how do you parent a child that's almost an adult? Do you let them do things when they're adults, even though they're living underneath your house? She's still a senior in high school. And I would just love some advice for that.
All right. That's a good question, Jessica. 2 things. One is I wouldn't feel sorry for her. You talk about she had a rough start. And there's a lot of people listening that grew up and had a rough start. And if they didn't have a rough start, they got a rough spot now that they're going through. So if we feel sorry for someone, that can cause us to misalign the right values in parenting with our follow-through. So you've raised her, you've loved her, you've cared for her, and she's now a young adult making decisions. If that were my daughter, and I'm just giving a general rule because I'd have to sit down, obviously, and every child's different. But generally, I'd say something like, honey, I love you. You're 17. We've agreed to have some boundaries. You're violating the contract. You're saying you want to move out. You're a senior in high school. Listen, I know you're going to be making decisions and you're going to be doing what you want to do in life. I want to help you get there. I hope you'll ask yourself the question, what are the right steps to get there in your life? And won't react just because you're angry at me. You're not having hijacked emotions, as I write about, and allowing those emotions to drive me in an unhealthy direction in your life or for your life. And then I would probably add something like, honey, listen, you're a senior in high school. Coming up here, you're going to be 18. Coming up in, in the spring, you're going to be graduating. Can we have an agreement between now and then? These are the things. Here's how we're going to operate. We're going to, you kind of not compromise your values, but agree to how it's going to be okay with you. And I wouldn't have a long list of 20 rules, but I would say, hey, these are important to me. You know, we're not leaving the house open at night. We're not having drugs. These are the things that are important. And if you can abide by those, fantastic. If you can't, then you've got to make a decision how you want to live. But until your graduation, why don't we do this? Until you graduate, let's operate this way. And once you're 18 and you're graduated, God bless you. You're going to make a decision, but I'd hate to have you just leave now because you think my boundaries and all the things that we want are too much. So let's talk about it. And that's what I would do. And I'd leave. You want to maintain a relationship. The prodigal son left because he wanted to go live his own life. And the dad didn't grab him by the scuff of the neck and drag him back. He let him go. But he kept that relationship open, the door open, so he could continue to connect when the son was ready to come home. I hope that helps. All right, we've got some callers who want to weigh in. Maybe you have a question for me, a comment for me. On Facebook, we got a comment I'll get to. And Debbie, I'll get to you in a moment with your story about helping kids transition. My phone line's open, Tensional Living, 888-888-1717. And I'll be back here in just a couple minutes.
Laughter and fun are important in a great marriage. And that's what you'll experience at the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night with Dr. Randy Carlson.
Well, everything Dr. Randy Carlson said was just great.
We have fun and we enjoy each other's company and we just love spending time together.
No matter how many years you've been married, you can always learn new things to strengthen your relationship.
Don't miss the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night, November 8th and 9th in Mesa and Glendale, and November 16th in Tucson. Get your tickets today at TheIntentionalLife.com.
Every time worry strikes, do this one thing. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Did you know that 40% of Americans report being more anxious today than they were 1 year ago? And when you're anxious, here's one thing you can do. Just breathe. Did you know in the book of Job 33, verse 4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." That's a beautiful picture for those of us who may struggle with anxiety. Can I encourage you to do this one thing? Breathe in God's intentional love and then breathe out the worry that you're carrying today in your life. Practice that every day. Maybe make it a time that's set for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes every day just to breathe and enjoy God's presence. When you do, that's intentional living.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
And you know, it'll come directly to your email box every day, Monday through Friday. In fact, we just recorded a whole bunch of these that'll be showing up on Facebook in the next several weeks. So every day, a brand new, just 60 seconds to encourage you to live intentionally in Christ. I encourage you to go to theintentionallife.com/minute and sign up today. Talking parenting. And adult children, young adults, being intentional, want to do a good job, help them launch. At the same time, knowing the difference between a responsible child helping them launch and an irresponsible child, knowing they bloom at different rates, and being intentional in the process. We got a lot of stories coming in. Let's start with Debbie. Welcome to the program, Debbie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. Something prompted you to call. What's your story?
Well, you asked about transitioning from young adults to adulthood, and I just wanted to kind of tell you how we did it when we were raising our kids, and it seemed to work. They turned into awesome young ladies and married wonderful young Christian men.
Fantastic.
And they have awesome families.
All right, so give us some of your tips. What seemed to work for you?
Okay. When our daughters were about 16 and old enough to get jobs, we told them that this is how much that we can give you for school clothes. And if you want something else for your school clothes, if you want the nice Nikes, tennis shoes or the guest pants or whatever, then you'll have to get a job and you'll have to work for it.
Yeah, so you put them on like a budget. In other words, you got to buy your own clothes. You got to do these things. Here's how much we're going to give you to do that. And then you got to learn how to manage it. How did they do with that?
They did, at first, let's put it this way. At first they said, well, Mom, all of our friends' parents buy their own, buy this stuff. Yeah. For them. And we said, well, too bad, so sad.
And, you got born into the wrong family, honey.
Yeah, well, that's the way I was raised.
Yeah.
And we said, we will help you buy a, reliable used car.
Right.
But, to get a job and go back and forth to the job. But if you want a car, you have to buy your own gas and you have to pay for your own insurance.
Good. So you laid it out. You were clear. And at the same time, what you were doing is when they came back with the, hey, that ain't fair kind of thing, it was sort of too bad, so sad. I love you, honey, but that's the way life works. And I agree with you, Debbie, because many times today, young people are not growing up with the reality of how the world works. And if you want to raise a responsible adult, you show them there's consequences to life. And money is a great teacher. That's why I encourage young parents with young children today, if you're listening to these stories, start when they're young. helping them learn to manage money, manage their toys, manage just little things. And they start to be responsible for it. And when they're not taking care of something or they're being irresponsible, you don't jump in and fix it for them. One of the first laws of intentional living is don't do for your children what they need to learn to do for themselves. Because when you do, you weaken them, you don't strengthen them. And the ultimate goal of these 18, 20 years of kids being in our home is to help strengthen them to grow up and be responsible. Great, great advice. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate it. Let me see what Michael wants to weigh in on from Kansas today. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Doc. Nice to hear from you. And first of all, I'd like to compliment you on your station. I love listening to you guys all day long.
Thank you. That's why we're on. Fantastic.
I love the music. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Second of all, when I was 18, I had a job, went in the military, bought a car, gave it to my sister. When I got out, I got it back. I believe that if these kids want nice things, get up, go get a job, buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is. I didn't buy my kids anything, but then my kids went right in the military after they got out of high school.
Yeah.
And they bought their own stuff. If you want something nice, like that lady said, her daughter said, her friend's parents, go live with them then. They'll buy it for you. You also made a comment about if you had a 24-year-old kid living at home and all he did was play video games, which I despise, he'd be fasting. He'd be fasting real quick. You know, if he had a job, he'd have to come up with half the money or go get your own place. Mm-hmm. That's how I believe. That's how I was brought up. You want something, you got to earn it. If people keep giving their kids stuff like I see today, how are they going to grow up?
Hey, Michael, and we got people. By the way, I agree with you, but you got people listening saying, man, Michael, he sounds awful harsh. And they're thinking, what kind of relationship does he have with those kids of his?
Let me tell you what, my kids are my best friends. They can appreciate the way I raised them up. This is old school. Today's generation is, I hear these kids crying in the store and their parents automatically give them what they want. When my kids cried in the store, they cried in the store. And I believe in sharing the inconvenience, the annoying. If my kid's going to bother me in the store, well, somebody else is going to get bothered too because I'm not giving into it. And I didn't. I got three wonderful kids. I got a bunch of grandkids now. I still got two in the military, and they're doing great. But if you keep giving your kids what they want, how are they going to mature? How are they going to grow up and realize, you know what, if I want that nice car, yeah, I got to work a little harder.
That's good. Hey, man. Thank you, Michael. I wonder what role he played in the military. Hey, listen, I tell you, though, Michael, you're right on the beam. I think that, and every personality is different. Come on, parents. Not everyone, you know, Michael, he's very clear. He knows what he's going to do. And maybe you wrestle with being more of a heart person. You want your kids to like you and you want them to be happy and you want everything to be okay. Maybe you're operating out of guilt. Many times I've dealt with families, especially blended families, or there's been some crisis in the family where a parent might operate out of guilt, which causes us to make the wrong decisions. And in the process, it doesn't fulfill the objective that we have and the goal. And frankly, the command we have from Scripture to raise up our children the way they should go, so when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's intentional parenting for sure. All right, we got more calls, more comments. We'll be back. You're welcome to join in, 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to get away to get close to God's creation. Book your cabin now for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. Breathtaking destinations and beautiful scenery await you on this unforgettable travel experience. Enjoy spiritual renewal and build lifelong memories. Join my wife Donna and me for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. To book your cabin, go to theintentionallife.com. And I was thinking about, over my life, you think about some of the decisions that I've made. And a note I wrote down when I first taught this lesson was when I bought my 1973 Chevette. Not a good decision. But you know, we make decisions, and sometimes they're not of great consequence, like buying a 1973 Chevette, but sometimes the consequences of the decisions are very critical in our life. The first step of intentional living is making the right decision. And to do that, if you're a believer, we need to know God's intention. We need to know His heart and be intentional. This month, the teaching for members is on Your Decisions Matter. Members, watch for it. It'll be coming to you in the next couple weeks. Thank you for your support. New members, those who just joined this last week, it'll be coming your way as well. Watch for it. If you're not, you can join today, and your support will ongoing support will allow us to continue the radio program and the ministry of intentional living. And for those who share a gift this month and ask for it, we'll make sure you receive it as well. The teaching on Your Decisions Matter, go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. When you do, you help us reach more people with hope and help, not only on the air, but through our conference ministry as well.
Hello, my name is Michelle, and I went to the conference this weekend, and I wanted to tell you guys that it was life-changing and that I am wearing my bracelet every day as a constant reminder that I used to be a yeller and a screamer, and that's how I grew up, with my mom doing that to me, and I didn't know any different. And since I have been to the conference, I have made a very conscious effort to not yell or scream at my kids and talk to them calmly and nicely and discipline them in a constant manner. And I just want to thank Dr. Randy Carlson for changing my life.
Hey, listen, I appreciate it. The message of hope comes right from intentional living, biblically based, and she's referencing one of our conferences. And we have four conferences coming up. Three here in the fall coming up in November and one in the spring in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But for Phoenix area listeners, Mesa and Glendale, November the 9th at the Living Word Bible Church, that's a Friday night, and then at the Glendale Church of the Nazarene on Saturday night, November the 9th, 8th and 9th, it's going to be an intentional love marriage date night. Couple of hours, we're just going to laugh, we're going to learn. I'm going to give you some things that can be, frankly, transformational to your marriage and encourage you to do one thing, just like that caller said, hey, she went away with one thing for her marriage. And then the following week, on November the 16th, that's a Saturday night at the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene in Tucson, the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night. And boy, I've made a big commitment of things we're going to be talking about in 2 hours. I'm going to share 10 habits that will unlock intimacy in your marriage. I'm going to give you some specific steps on getting on the same page when it comes to parenting, finances, and goals for your future. And I'm going to share with you one thing that you can do 5 minutes every day that will help you avoid the pain of divorce, separation, and hurt in your marriage. And so we're going to have a full night. You're going to laugh. I promise you're going to learn. Life is stressful today. Leave the kids at home. Come on out. Well, leave them with somebody, right? Just don't leave them at home. But then come on out and just spend a couple of hours. Maybe go out to dinner first, then come to the conference and laugh and learn. A marriage date night. Phoenix, it's going to be in Mesa and Glendale, November 8th and 9th, and then Tucson, November 16th. Get your tickets today at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Okay, let me see. Let's go to a call, and then I got a Facebook post as well. We're talking about teenagers today, or young adults, and how to be intentional. Joe wants to weigh in from Kansas, I think with a question. Joe, go right ahead. Welcome to the program.
Well, I don't know if it's a question, but if you hear me, hear my anxiety, it probably is some question in this, but I wanted to tell a story about how my children, I feel, are that have become adults and they'll leave, but then they're revolving back in. And yeah. even when both us, me and the spouse, are saying we're going to do one thing, he always buckles and does something different. And this lately, they're getting older and older, but I see them purposely when they come back. I see them buying things while we're trying to give them a break on, you know, finances, staying at our home, but they're buying things and they're buying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the way they think the world works today. And we have that kind of mentality in our culture today. The government's going to take care of it. The community's going to take care of it. My job's going to take care of it. And as opposed to saying I'm being responsible for it. One quick question, Joe. I'm about out of time, but how old are your kids?
The youngest is 32.
32, and they're still revolving in and out, and that's the youngest?
Yes.
All right, listen, here's the deal. We want to help our kids. If I have a 32-year-old son or daughter, and they need help, I'm going to help them. I mean, that's part of being a family. But if it's the revolving door of irresponsibility, I'm going to have to put some boundaries in place. There's a difference between what I call a legitimate need that's helping you grow and this kind of thing where they're coming in and I'm helping them out and we're not sticking to our guns. Why wouldn't they keep coming back? You're like a revolving cash register for them. And so this is not a parenting problem, Joe. It's a marriage issue. You and your spouse got to get on the same page. Jessica posted on Facebook. She said, I have two kids from my previous marriage who are 15 and 12. My husband has been their dad for 9 years. He and my 12-year-old son always crash heads, button heads, I guess. Sometimes I think my husband is being too hard on him. Sometimes I understand why my husband gets upset with him. Any advice for me as a mom? Yeah, again, it's not a parenting issue. I think often we think we have a parenting issue when we really have a marriage thing. And I would encourage you, Jessica, you and your husband have to just sit down and compromise behind closed doors, come to an agreement. There could be some guilt going on. It could be some of your feelings of his versus mine. Those kinds of things can occur. But there's something powerful. You know, the scripture even says two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. We hear that in Ecclesiastes 4. And so if you guys are standing together, I think there's something that happens in a family when a mom and dad are in love with each other and then standing together. I mean, that's powerful. That's really unbeatable when it comes to the kids. So I would encourage you, Jessica, I know it may not be easy, but maybe get into some counseling with you and your husband, go to a parenting conference, focus reading a book. We got help here through our Raising Responsible Adults. If you're nearby, come to one of my Love Your Marriage date night. We're going to talk about parenting there as well and be a part of this. I hope that helps. We're out of time, but listen, your questions and comments are always welcome. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. If you've missed any part of today's program, want to hear it again, just go to theintentionallife.com. Find our podcast anywhere. We're there for you. See you next time from Intentional Living.